I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they're honored all over the three worlds, and they're worth taking shelter of, because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Sri Shad Goswami Prabhu Ki. Today we're moving on to chapter 27, Symptoms of Ecstatic Love. The discussion, short discussion about that particular type of bhava called anubhava. So this is now the second category of bhava in this southern side of Nectar of Devotion. This is in fact the second wave now. There are five waves. This is a very short one, and the next one also is very short. In fact, we don't have a tremendous amount of time left, I must say, but I think we'll be able to get through. So anubhava, as distinct from vibhava, vibhava is mainly, as we were discussing, different types of stimulations, things which arouse bhava, arouse ecstasy. Anubhava is a particular type of ecstasy. The essence of it basically is that anubhava, anu of course means to follow, just like Lalita Devi, one name for her is Anuradha. That means she's following Radharani. I mean, they're very, very intimately connected, but she's in the following position behind Srimati Radharani. So Anubhava indicates that these are ecstatic symptoms which manifest following, immediately following. What? Specifically, you could say exposure to vibhavas. Exposure to those things which stimulate. So the devotee being exposed, for example, right at the beginning, I think, or towards the beginning, we gave the example of Mother Yashoda becoming, you could say, exposed to Krishna. She's not seeing Krishna. She's moving around the house. Suddenly, she sees Krishna. So that stimulates her. Krishna stimulates her. Her motherly affection. And then, naturally, she responds. So anubhava, the basic idea. Of course, none of these subjects, I must say, are really, you know, so simple that we can just kind of clinically take them apart and then think that we've got them. But the basic idea, is that anubhavas are those initial responses. They are very sort of basic, fundamental responses. By that, I mean that, you know, the way people respond initially to something is sort of very much from the heart and may not be deeply thought out, perhaps. Anyway, it's like that. Some initial, immediate, basic response showing some basic feeling, indicating some basic feeling. So, in other words, the external manifestation of a response within the mind, within the heart. This is one difference between anubhava and sattvika bhava. Of course, we haven't discussed sattvika bhava at all, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think it is, makes the point that anubhava is basically something specifically external. The body is doing something. Sattvika bhava can be both internal and external. Internal or external, or internal and external. So there's a type of distinction possible there on that basis. Although, in a broad sense, and again, we did say there are elements of flexibility in terms of these definitions, so sattvika bhavas can also be sometimes possibly construed as being anubhavas in certain senses. Okay, without getting too much into complexities, though, in our overview book on page 37, we give a few quotes and so on. Anu means to follow. So anubhava implies a heightened state of ecstasy stimulated by contact with a vibhava. For example, Mother Yashoda may see Krishna performing some activity and start singing his glories. That's anubhava. Often it is seen, or sometimes it is seen, that these anubhavas involve some conscious decision to act in a certain way in relation to Krishna through being stimulated in a certain way, although this may not always be the case, and it's very important actually. In this regard, we can note that the 9 symptoms of bhava mentioned in chapter 18 of Nectar of Devotion, they're anubhavas, we already discussed them. The first one was time, utilization of time. Then things like unbreakable perseverance, determination, great humility, great attachment to chanting, very deep hope, and optimism despite everything. So these are anubhavas. These are very important anubhavas. Surrender is an anubhava. Yes, surrender is an anubhava. That we read Bhagavad Gita, and at the end, Krishna brings everything to that point. Sarva dharmam parichaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja. You give up all your other things and you surrender to me. So we know that many devotees read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and gradually they came through to that point, and then they got there to the end of Bhagavad Gita and they got that message, and then they decided, right, yes, I'm going to surrender. Now, of course, they're not necessarily on the level of bhava, but the principle at least, the principle is a principle of anubhava, that one is responding. A basic type of response to a Krishna conscious stimulation. Just like we gave the examples in regard to not wasting any time. We gave the examples of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. Now there, it is a matter of being on the level of bhava or being on the level of prema even. They're so stimulated in Krishna consciousness that they will not and practically cannot waste any time. Their hearts will just not let them. They just keep going. They must keep going, and they do keep going. there's a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and George Harrison, in which George Harrison brings up this point that sleeping seems a waste of time. And Prabhupada says, yes, whenever I sleep, I think, here I go, wasting time again. Yes. So these are very important anubhavas, these nine from the 18th chapter. Now, actually there are many anubhavas. It's a very big subject. There are anubhavas which are unique to particular rasas. In other words, someone who is in the conjugal rasa will respond, the basic response, the immediate response to a particular stimulation, Krishna acting in a certain way, or the devotees acting in a certain way, or whatever it may be. So the responses will vary from rasa to rasa. And let's see. There's some reference that I got that in the parental rasa, the main anubhavas are smelling the head. Misplaced my quotation. Anyway, maybe we can just say that there are different types of anubhavas for different rasas, and for parents, smelling the head is one of them. I misplaced my quotation, sorry. Oh, here they are. Yeah. In the parental rasa, the main anubhavas are smelling the head of Krishna, giving him blessings, nursing him, and rearing him. Rearing means sort of like educating him. You know how parents are instructing their children in different ways. Do this, don't do that. And nursing him, being protective and so on, concerned in that way. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, he says that anubhavas are the symptoms which proclaim the presence of ecstasy within. Some of the first symptoms of the presence of devotion, some of the first anubhavas are surrender to Krishna and obedience to Krishna's instructions. Okay, now, specifically, Srila Prabhupada lists out about 13 or so, something like that, a certain number of anubhavas. Now, we have also listed them out in our overview book, but in a slightly different order, because as Prabhupada says in the second paragraph on page 219, there are two basic divisions, two types of anubhavas. Shita, which literally, of course, means cool or cold, and shapana. Shapana, we say, literally means throwing, dramatic. So shita, in other words, shita anubhavas are ecstatic expressions which are cool. In other words, there's not much bodily movement. Don't forget, here we're talking about bodily movement. Anubhava means external expression. How things show through the body. From within, they manifest their effects externally through the body. So one category then, they involve the shita anubhavas. They involve just mild movement of the body, but shapana, these throwing anubhavas, they involve much more violent or much stronger, at least, movement of the body. So we have divided them up like that. And, you know, there's just, if you read through, you would have seen, they're brief, just examples given. And it's, you know, in a sense, relatively straightforward, at least in terms of just understanding what the body does. So the shita ones, first of all, we say singing loudly. That's on page 220. Srimati Radharani was singing Krishna's glories, obviously quite loudly. And her friends became stone-like and dull. Sounds like they became stunned. Stunned, becoming stunned, is the first of the sattvika bhavas, which we're going to be going into, I think, next week probably. Or maybe we can start a little bit today. But at the same time, the nearby stones began to melt. Sometimes this happens. It happens when Krishna plays his flute sometimes. People and animals become stunned like painted pictures, and rocks melt, rivers flow backwards or stop flowing, things like this. And another example, Narada Muni. He was chanting Hare Krishna very loudly. Everyone thought that Lord Narasingadev was coming. And the demons got shocked and ran for it. Can anyone think of any other example? Singing loudly and some dramatic effect is there. Well, when Lord Chaitanya took out his Harinam party the first time, then they were singing loudly, and there were some Muslims around, and they heard it, and they also started chanting. In fact, Lord Chaitanya would go out singing many times, and Muslims would hear. There was one group of Muslims sent to spy on Lord Chaitanya by the king. And then they came back and made their report. And they said, yes, we saw him and his followers. And they were all chanting, Hare Krishna! And then they started shouting and screaming. They said, oh, sorry, what happened? They just had fits of chanting because they heard Lord Chaitanya singing loudly. Anyway, then next one, as we have listed them at least, is yawning. This is very transcendental yawning. This is not an ordinary type of yawning. That's towards the bottom of page 220. When Radharani would yawn, her face looked like an expanding lotus flower. When we yawn, I don't know. I don't think it's the same. And I don't think it's an anubhava usually. It's probably the opposite. Breathing heavily. That's at the bottom of page 220. The example is given of Lalita. She's just like a chatiki bird, which will only take water from a rain cloud and not any other source. Prabhupada, I don't know if you're familiar with the story at all, but Prabhupada was on a morning walk in America somewhere, and they were walking on the street, and there were some cars parked, and Prabhupada saw one car called a Ford Thunderbird. If you're familiar with America and American cars, you might have heard of that. If not, anyway, there is such a car. Famous American car. Ford Thunderbird. So Prabhupada, he pointed at the car and said, "Oh, what is this Thunderbird?" Meaning, not just the car, but what is this Thunderbird? And the devotees said, "Well, we don't know. Maybe it's just some imaginary sort of thing." Prabhupada said, "Oh, in India, we have a Thunderbird. That is this same Chatak or Chataki. Chataki is a female Thunderbird, Chatak bird. So this," Prabhupada said, "this bird follows the clouds and it will only drink water when it's falling from the clouds. And as it's falling from the clouds, it'll not come down and land by a pond or a lake and drink some water from there. It will only take water as it falls from the cloud right at that time. So therefore, it's just following the cloud and following, and sometimes it may take a long time before some rain starts coming, and the bird just may be following and following and following." So Prabhupada said that this bird, it will only take mercy from the cloud, meaning that rain, the water. It will not take mercy from anywhere else. So Prabhupada said, when you become like that, that you will only take mercy from Krishna, nowhere else. You may think, it may seem, some mercy is available elsewhere. Some materialistic people, maybe they can give you some money or whatnot. So it may seem some mercy is available elsewhere, but if you stick with Krishna and you only take mercy from Krishna, and Prabhupada said, just like that Chataki bird, sometimes that cloud, it gives thunder and lightning, which is not so nice, in other words. But still the bird, it just follows that cloud. It never leaves the cloud. So, similarly, we should just take mercy from Krishna. And even if Krishna gives some thunder and lightning, a little bit of a test sometimes, but still we should only take mercy from Krishna. And when you've become fixed like that, then Krishna will accept you. Then you'll be recognized by Krishna. So anyway, Lalita Devi is like that. She is so attached to Krishna. She's only looking for Krishna. She doesn't want any other association. Of course, she associates with Radharani, but it's all in the context of Krishna. So, like that, here it says that Krishna was like a dark rain cloud. Lalita was like the Chataki bird. And sometimes she would see Krishna. So there's a vibhava. She sees Krishna. But the anubhava was so strong in the form of breathing heavily that she just became sort of, you know, incapacitated until Krishna had gone past her, you know, and then it was too late to do anything else. Yeah. So in other words, that heavy breathing, that powerful anubhava is being presented as being apparently like a little bit of an obstacle in that particular situation. Krishna had disappeared by the time she recovered herself and her breathing became normal. Oh, then we have a very exotic one. Drooling. You can, I mean, from this, hopefully we get a little idea how powerful these things can be or are. Yes, that Narada Muni, sometimes when he's chanting, the chanting, of course, is a type of vibhava, stimulates him. So sometimes he's chanting and becomes so stimulated that he becomes stunned. So the stunning is not part of the anubhava. The stunning is, we mentioned specifically a sattvika bhava. But there was an anubhava in the form that saliva just started running from his mouth. So sometimes it happens like that. The devotee becomes just sort of nonplussed. And then saliva comes. Can you think of any pastime, incident, situation where such a symptom manifested very prominently?
He was drooling.
Is it? Okay. Okay, I'm not quite sure of the details on that, but fair enough.
He was
okay.
Fainted.
Right. There's one very prominent example which I think you'd be familiar with. This drooling involves not just like saliva, but it also includes foaming at the mouth. And the example I'm thinking of is Lord Chaitanya in the Rathyatra. That's described in the, I think it's 13th chapter of Madhya Lila. Lord Chaitanya was dancing and so many ecstatic symptoms were coming. It was just very amazing, practically unique display of ecstasy. So one thing that was coming was foam. Foam was coming from his mouth. And it describes just like nectar coming from the heavenly planets. And one intelligent devotee dived in and caught it and drank it. One very intelligent devotee, that's how he's described. You remember his name? Shubhananda. Yes. One who gets great ecstasy from auspiciousness. So he understood. This was very auspicious. You know, normally, or let us say on the material platform, drooling, foaming at the mouth is not really considered to be very nice. In fact, it's quite the opposite, really. We were going down the road on a rickshaw the other day, and one camel was coming up pulling some heavy load, and he was foaming at the mouth. Poor creature. And you know, when I saw that, I remembered this, actually. Somehow it just came to mind. But, you know, looking at it, you know, you can see it's just, it doesn't look very nice. Therefore, one characteristic of a person on the level of prema is that they cannot be understood by ordinary people. Why not? Because they do things which ordinary people cannot relate to. Lord Chaitanya is foaming at the mouth. Shubhananda is diving in and drinking it. The devotees are saying, wonderful, wonderful. Some materialistic person is thinking, oh my gosh. You know, this is very antisocial behavior. So those are the shita, or less, you know, physically dramatic expressions of ecstasy, anubhavas. Then there are the shapana ones with stronger bodily movement. So first is dancing. Where's that? On page 219. Lord Shiva dancing. Then next one, rolling on the ground. And the example is, well, that's also on 219, Akrura. He saw Krishna's footprints. We've already mentioned this a few times. Krishna's footprints are Vibhava Udipan. And his response, basic response, as those emotions arose within his heart, then it manifested through his body as he just got thrown onto the ground and thrown into a sort of rolling kind of movement like that. And Radharani also. Rolling on the ground. Can any of you, or dancing, can any of you think of some, like, very exceptional dancing pastimes? Srivasangan, yes. Amazing dancing. One thing that comes to my mind, and actually seeing the name of Lord Shiva here, it is when Jagai and Madai were delivered, then Yamaraj was watching, and he couldn't believe it, and he asked his assistant, Chitragupta, you know, isn't this rather extraordinary? Chitragupta said, it is totally unparalleled. These people were the worst. But now they've been completely delivered. It's just unimaginable. So then Yamaraj, he began dancing. And, well, actually, eventually he collapsed even. And the other demigods came over and they were wondering, what happened to Yamaraj? Then they saw. They also knew about Jagai and Madai. And they started dancing. Wow, they were just dancing like mad. And Lord Indra was crying. He has 1,000 eyes on his body. He was crying tears from his 1,000 eyes. Normally he feels embarrassed about having 1,000 eyes on his body. It's a bit of a long story, but he has good reason to be embarrassed, actually. But anyway, now he's got these 1,000 eyes. And this time, though, he felt it was very good. I'm glad I have 1,000 eyes. Because, you know, the ecstasy he was feeling was so much, he felt like crying so much that he couldn't have cried enough from 2 eyes. But when he had 1,000 eyes, then he could cry enough. And he felt happy that he had 1,000 eyes. So that's another example of like very extraordinary dancing. Being stimulated, in that case, by the deliverance of these demons. Rolling on the ground, dancing. Stretching the body on page 220. Narada Muni remembers the Lord internally and it manifests. He just spontaneously throws his hands in the air and just somehow stretches his body and his Brahman thread breaks. Lord Chaitanya would also stretch his body. If you're familiar with those pastimes, sometimes the joints would separate and his body, everything would become elongated. Sometimes everything would retract within his body. So at least his limbs elongating. This is like an example, very dramatic example of stretching of the body. Crying loudly. So Radharani was crying. Lord Shiva was crying loudly. Radharani was crying like a kurari bird. And Lord Shiva was crying so loudly that the demons, they didn't just flee in all directions. They became defeated just by his loud crying. Laughing like a madman. It's a very nice description given here, the bottom of page 221. When a devotee becomes affected with this mental condition, his love is expressed through the lips. In other words, internally there is love, and then the anubhav comes through the lips in the form of laughing. The laughing sounds coming one after another are compared to flowers falling from the creeper of devotion, which grows within the heart of the body, of the devotee. So like this, as an anubhav, growing from, manifesting from, the condition of the heart. Wheeling of the head. Some of these are very extraordinary, aren't they? One gopi told her friend, "It appears that Lord Krishna, the enemy of the demon Aga, has released from his mouth a whirlwind, which is acting on your friend, on your head, and is gradually proceeding to do the same to the other lotus-eyed gopis." So, you know, their heads must have just been spinning. Not just sort of turning around, but just like spinning wildly. Like there's a whirlwind, they're just being tossed around. Don't ask me, please, to analyze it further, because my realization doesn't extend that far.
Persons with epilepsy.
Oh, my Lord. Hare Krishna. Okay. And last but not least, another unusual one, belching. Radharani seemed to have a belching fit. And one of her friends thought, oh, maybe she's sick. But Purnamasi, who knows all these things very well, she came and said, no, this is a symptom of love for Krishna. And don't worry, I will cure it. Now, it doesn't say how she's going to cure it, but she has obviously some transcendental plan for curing the belching. So these are then different types of physical manifestations which reflect the internal state of the heart, particularly when one is being stimulated or has just been stimulated by a vibhava. And then other emotions follow also. But that we'll talk about another time. Then one other little point is that Prabhupada notes right at the end on page 222, sometimes there are some even more dramatic symptoms. Trembling of the body, or the actual Sanskrit word literally translates as swelling of the limbs and bleeding, hemorrhaging from some parts of the body. They may also be there as responses. But these symptoms are very rare. Actually, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the point is made, it only happens on the level of Mahabhava. Yeah. These things only happen on the level of Mahabhava. Lord Chaitanya, he displayed these symptoms. Yeah. Otherwise, they're very rare. And belching, the Sanskrit for belching is hika. It includes hiccups. Hika is the Sanskrit word. Hika. So it includes hiccupping, that sort of phenomenon. Yes. All right, now I know it's all a little on the esoteric side. Let us just throw a couple of other things in, just to kind of expand it and hopefully make it a little clearer. In Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami discusses Anubhava further, and of course that's all particularly in relation to the conjugal rasa. So he says, in the conjugal rasa, there are three types of Anubhavas, like three groups. One is called Alankar. They're physical ornaments, physical actions, like the Kila Kinchita Bhavas, they're discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, like acting out Krishna's pastimes. That's also an Alankar Anubhava. Different gestures, physical gestures, when Krishna comes acting in different ways, acting very coolly, moving in different ways. These are Anubhavas of the Alankar type. Then there's another group called Udbhasvara. Now these things are there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you look, you'll see them in the Madhya Lila. There are seven Udbhasvaras, loosening of the undergarments, loosening of the bodice, loosening of the hair, crushing of limbs, yawning. Well, yawning we already mentioned. Expansion of the nostrils, that is breathing heavily, and sighing. And then there are vachika anubhavas. That means particular ways of speaking, particular modes of speaking, expressing oneself angrily or quietly or in different ways like that. So these are all anubhavas. Offering obeisances in dasyaras, just like we said about vatsalyaras, the main anubhavas were smelling the head and so on and so forth. So in dasyaras, the first anubhava is offering obeisances. Physical action following being stimulated. Any comments or questions? Udbasvara. Loosening of the bodice. Then loosening of the hair. They're in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're there. Any other comments or questions? And a few others. Few other gopis, few cowherd boys. Very small group. And the others, other than Lord Chaitanya and Srimati Radharani, the others only have like mild symptoms of Mahabhava. Not, you know, the full-fledged, or not, at least not so fully at all. Yeah. But still it can be classified as Mahabhava. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindabindu.
Yes. Yeah? You say symptoms that proclaim Utkash the rest.
The symptoms which proclaim the presence of bhava, meaning emotional sentiment. Oh no, sorry, that's something else. Also from there. The symptoms which proclaim the presence of ecstasy within the heart, like laughter, dancing, and chanting, they are anubhava. The symptoms of the presence of devotion are surrender and obedience. Surrender to Krishna and obedience to his instructions. Was that the one? They are anubhavas. You read Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a vibhava, stimulant. You read it and then you decide, right, I'm going to surrender. That's the anubhava, the surrender. And then the obedience to following Krishna's instructions, that's also anubhava. Is that okay? The symptoms of the presence of devotion, the anubhavas, are surrender to Krishna and obedience to his instructions. I don't know. I don't think it's in this sort of category. You know, I would think that was a more sort of mystical type of thing than really to do with the internal potency so much, in my limited understanding. Oh, right. Yes. Oh, yes. Chandrakanti. Oh, yes. And you just brought to mind also something, in my mind, that, who was it? Mukunda Dutt, I think. He had been associating with some impersonalists. Just because of social obligation, they were family members. So he used to have to go along and sometimes say the right thing. Oh yes, very good. You know, when they were talking their nonsense. Otherwise, it would have been improper on a family level. But Lord Chaitanya didn't like it. So, you know, during the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya called all the devotees, even devotees who weren't there. They were on the other side of town, and the devotees would then bring that particular devotee. Everyone except Mukunda Dutt, and he was there. And they were all wondering, you know, when's Mukunda Dutt going to be called? Then Lord Chaitanya sort of, it seemed like it was over. And then they went to Lord Chaitanya and said, look, what about Mukunda Dutt? And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want to see him. Oh, you know, he associates with these Mayavadis and so on. So I'm just not going to see him. That's it. So it appeared like Mukunda Dutt was totally rejected. And then the devotees came back and said, you know, he's a nice devotee, he's very disappointed. Lord Chaitanya said, all right, in 10 million lifetimes. And they went back and told Mukunda Dutt. He didn't say, oh no, 10 million lifetimes. Oh my Lord, I'm going to have to wait so long. But no, he said, oh, ecstatic. And he started, he was calling out, I will see, and dancing so uncontrollably that when Lord Chaitanya saw him and said, all right, just bring him in now. But they couldn't catch him. He was dancing so wildly, they couldn't catch hold of him. Because he was so happy, in 10 million lifetimes, I'll see. That's very advanced. 72 hours. Yes. Right. And he felt he wanted wings. Yes. Nice examples. All right. So now we have the weekend. Read through Sattvika Bhava, chapter 28. See what you can make of it. Some things, you know, not so easy to grasp. But if you read it and read the overview book at the same time, it really becomes a lot easier to understand. I mean, really. Makes a very, very big difference. So why don't you do that over the weekend, and we'll go through it on Monday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.